Hello, my name's Jeff, and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
And I've been asked to read the NA Vision for Service. So that's what I'm going to do. A Vision for NA Service. All of the efforts of Narcotics Anonymous are inspired by the primary purpose of our groups. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict in the world has the chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member, inspired by the gift of recovery, experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. NA service bodies worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups in carrying our message of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thank you, Jeff.
Can I sit down here?
You can. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Caesar. I'm a great recovering addict.
Caesar!
Let's open up with the serenity prayer. God, grant my serenity to accept as I can, to share as I can, with those friends I met. My name is Ezra. I'm a Gripper Covering Addict. I'm the chair of H&I of Eastern Counties of Southern California Region. First of all, I want to thank my higher power that I'm here able to share the message of hope, what H&I has done for me. One thing that I learned about H&I in the history of H&I and being a service in H&I is one thing that I learned a lot of good things about it. Because I remember when I was in rehab and I was getting clean from the disease of addiction, it was methamphetamine. I remember the first H&I panel that came in there. And then, you know, this gentleman had a good, he had good speakers that came in there that was clear, solid message of hope. Was one thing that I did not know about was hope and recovery. Was all, the only thing I thought about was getting high on meth. So when these people came in and I heard that message came inside my heart. And my heart started pumping hard. And one thing that I'm thankful for, that I'm able to be a service now. You know, I have a wonderful sponsee family that's been in H&I for a long time. And I'm the only sponsee from my sponsor who is in H&I right now. Without H&I, without speaking, you know, at first, I'm going to share this, the reason why I got high on meth, and then I'll go to about H&I. The reason I got high on meth, and I'm going to share this, I'm going to be honest with you guys, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why is because I was getting high on meth because I was born without no ears. I was born without no ears. I didn't have ears. I had 8 surgeries. You know, and that's why I was in my disease. And you know, H&I has shown me to become a better person by communicating, talking better, reaching out to people for help, sharing the message of hope. And when my sponsor first, he railroaded my ass into H&I, but you know what? It was good that he did, because I needed it. Because I needed to become stronger and better. And that's what I have been doing since I had my 8 years clean. And one thing that, you know, by speaking on the panel, I'm going to share this with you guys, and you know, I know most of you guys have done this before. I mean, my first H&I panel, I was afraid. I did not know what I was going to say. Bless you. Because my communication was very well. Now you hear that, you know, my communication is like, sometimes it's good, sometimes I stutter. But I do my best of my ability. You know what I mean? And I remember, you guys might laugh about this. I used to come in the panel, sit on the panel, and then when they say, all right, Caesar, you're next to share. And when I was sharing, I was stuttering. I'll be like, I was saying stuff that when I don't even know what the hell I was saying, talking about. You know what I mean? But sooner or later, when I started doing more panels, I got more better. I became the panel coordinator, I became a panel leader, I became the vice chair for 2 years, and then I became the chair. You know, this is my second year as chair of Eastern Counties of HNI for Southern California region. And, you know, it's like, it's amazing. Able to go to places, share the message of hope. And what I learned about the history of HNI, I learned a lot of stuff. I've done the history of HNI at like other conventions, other learning days. And you know, I talked to my sponsor, and my sponsor goes, you know what, Caesar? When you speak over there, share from the heart what HNI has done for you. You know, HNI has shown me, you know what? Stop being afraid, Caesar. Open your mouth, reach out to people, share their message. And that's one thing that I'm thankful for. You know, HNI is part of my life. It's part of my life and my recovery. And I'm not embarrassed to say this. You know, my vice chair is—that's my vice chair. She's also my fiance. You know, I met her in HNI. You know, me and her, we've been doing this together as a team. You know, and that's one thing that I'm happy for. You know, when Dave asked us to come and speak over here from all the way from Downey or from Cudahy, come over here to speak, and I'm like, yeah, we'll be there. Because one thing my sponsor taught us, never let down any quest, not even the HNI panel. You know, because we always, like my sponsor said, if you're willing to go out to get that dope, you're willing to go out there and carry that message. You're willing to go out there and carry that message of recovery to the suffering addicts that are out there struggling, that do not know what HNI stands for. They don't know what speaking on a panel is. I did not know that none of that stuff before. But when the person that came into the rehab that did a panel, I'm like, you know what? If he could do it, I could do it. And I've been doing this for a long time. You know, my year is up as chair for Eastern Counties, but I'm still gonna be part of HNI regardless. Because I need HNI. HNI doesn't need me. I need HNI. HNI is my foundation. HNI is my strength. HNI is my hope. Like they say in the program, we carry the message, strength and hope. And I, you know, I do this on a daily basis. You know, a lot of people have asked me to, you know, speak at different places, and it's an honor, it's a privilege. You know, I'm honored to wear an HNI shirt wherever I go. And people ask me, what does that mean? I explain to them what it is. I even carry my pamphlets, my hospital institution pamphlets, the blue ones. And I give it to them, I'm like, here. If you have somebody that's suffering, here, have them read it. And I put my number down. I'm also a certified drug and alcohol counselor myself. You know, people say, just because you have a hearing loss or you're disabled doesn't mean you're not going to have a good life. Look at that. You know, people were telling me, you know what, Caesar, you're not gonna have a good life. But guess what? Where am I at right now? Clean. I'm able to show up, get up in the morning. Today, I got up in the morning, took a shower, woke up my lady. I'm like, babe, come on, we gotta do our job. You know, and I told her, you know what? We're already paid. We're paid by the men upstairs to be part of HNI. To go in there, do a panel, and carry the message. So hopefully what I'm sharing with you guys about what HNI has done for me will make you realize that, you know what, we're doing a good job. we're doing a good job by carrying the message. You know, we go in there to those facilities that are suffering a lot, because, you know, it reminds us of ourselves, how we were. If you guys see me cry right now, it's like, it's amazing. H&I is so wonderful. H&I is so wonderful for me. It should be wonderful for all of us in here. People that are part of H&I. If you have a panel, if you're the vice chair or the chair, good job, congratulations. Because, you know, people like us are out there for people that need help. I'm going to make it short. Remember, we do this as a team, as a family in H&I. It's not a me, it's a we. You know, we do this on a daily basis. So I want to thank you guys, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to be your speaker and to share the message of hope. With that, my name is Tito. I'm a great for Kirby 90. Thank you much, guys.
See you, sir.
Now I'm going to introduce you to the vice chair.
My name is Stephanie. I'm an addict.
Stephanie.
Okay. I was really surprised to be asked to speak, by the way. This is my first time, like, speaking at this kind of level. But I'm here to talk about H&I. And when it's about being of service, just like how we should never turn down any request. Service is always about a greater purpose, a purpose greater than ourselves. So, despite if I seem a little jittery, I'm up here because I believe in H&I, which is hospitals and institutions. Let me start a little bit about my story. I got clean in a domestic violence shelter, and there was really no talk of 12-step programs. There were no like drug and alcohol counselors. their primary focus was about safety, teaching us about domestic violence, and trying to change our patterns of behavior, which has led to being having to be saved from such a violent environment, I guess. But then one day, an H&I panel showed up from NA, and I recall sitting in there thinking, who are these people? Why are they being so, like, honest, talking about their using of drugs and, like, the wreckage of their past, the bad decisions they've made, and then they're in here talking about how their lives are now? And I was like, wow, do they know how much trouble they can get talking about their using? but despite where my head, my disease was taking me at that time, my addict thinking, despite that, I mean, that H&I panel planted a seed. It told me that there is a 12-step program out there called Narcotics Anonymous that is available to us if we choose it. That there is a life other than the lives that we had known before with the using and all the crazy behaviors. And I wasn't ready to admit that I was an addict then. I thought all the problems were the kid's dad, because he was like my connect, and I never bought drugs, but then it was like, I was using since I was like 16, but it was all the guy's fault, you know, because like they supplied it. But then when I got out of that facility and I was done like being drug tested 42 consecutive times, and I completed that substance abuse program, which actually really taught me nothing about using. It just taught me what drugs are out there. When I got out, and I was like, wow, what am I gonna do with my time? And I'm not being drug tested anymore. And then my head was taking me like to all the crazy places of all the connects that I know that my ex had used, and I could track them down. But then that seed that H and I planted in my head, it just detoured that type of thinking. So then I thought about it, and they're like, okay, there are meetings out there. So I started looking up meetings. And then even though I sat in those meetings and like I was like, I was never as bad as them. But then like I had a long time of using, and then anyhow, I'm getting too much into my story. But H and I planted that very important seed that led to me changing my patterns of behavior by trying something new. Because it led me to the rooms of NA, where I got to hear people talk of how this program has changed their life. And trust me, that was really hard for me, because from that violent background, I sat in the rooms for the first time, completely terrified that any guy in the room can like jump over the table and attack me, because I was like used to that kind of behavior. But then I wanted what those people had. I wanted to get my life together, to live a life without fears, or at least be able to learn to live life on life's terms. And that was only by being honest and open-minded and willing to take an honest look at myself and learn that type of transparency that those people had in that first H&I panel. I've learned that being of service and having commitments has challenged me to overcome my own fears. And I've learned a lot of new skills. I started out small with like maybe a chip position, literature, secretary, GSR, and then one day I saw this flyer, and I heard from the GSRs of this thing called Adopt a Panel. It turned out that area where I had moved back to when I got my kids back, that their H&I needed help. And Adopt a Panel was a way how they recruited more people, by asking home groups to help out. So when I was secretary, I put up the motion to adopt a panel, and they agreed. I went to H&I as what they called an H&I liaison. I got to act as the panel leader, and then the speakers of the home group were speakers for a while, and then from there I heard that there was another need for a panel leader for a female facility. And then I was like, okay, I have that time available. So then I took that commitment. And that was very rewarding, because I got to go into this rehab for women and children. And I brought female speakers. And I got to hear them pour out their hearts, giving a message of experience, strength, and hope. And by sitting there, even though I was a panel leader, listening to them, I realized that we have so many similarities. And I had a lot of issues back then that prevented me from communicating and having healthy relationships with women in program because of my own fears. And by listening to those female speakers, I overcame those fears because I realized that they're no different from me. We may have small differences, but when it comes down to it, they wanted a change, and they learned how to have a new life in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I've also became the vice chair of H&I, which basically is a training position for the chair. I also became the panel coordinator for a psychiatric and forensic facility. And then now I'm doing my second term as vice chair of H&I in Eastern Counties. Some of the benefits of being a part of H&I is that I get to help carry a clear NA message of experience, strength, and hope. I also get to be continually inspired by powerful messages of speakers pouring their hearts out. I get to talk to a lot of newcomers and answer their questions or tell them what has worked for me. Being of service and helping newcomers has helped me grow immensely. It has helped me become more confident, responsible, organized, and I also learned teamwork by putting principles before personalities and focusing on the greater purpose. I have learned a lot about H&I over the years. Not only is it about carrying the message, but also that it is highly structured. Panel speakers have generally require a 6-month clean time, and they're like pretty much on call to speak at different facilities. Panel leaders generally have 1-year clean time, minimum, I guess, and then they act as a secretary at the panel in a facility. And it's very important that they abide by facility rules and they report to their they follow the H&I rules and report to their panel coordinators. The panel coordinator oversees the panel leaders at that facility and handles communications between H&I and the facility. A vice chair coordinates with panel coordinators, facilities, trains for the chair position, and is supposed to attend H&I region. And the chair attends the region, H&I region, the area meetings, and the H&I subcommittee. They have to do a lot of reports. And I'm being somewhat general with the explanations of duties because it will vary from area to area, because a lot of times the needs in one area may be slightly different from the needs of another area. Also because we deal with a lot of different types of facilities. This year, I have really had to push my communication skills and put principles before personalities and work hard at finding solutions. This year, we dealt with a lot of different situations from my previous experiences in H&I. My most challenging commitment so far has been being the panel coordinator for the psychiatric and forensic facility. They have a lot of rules and limitations, and we had to do a lot of problem solving. For example, every person that steps on that facility has to pass a live scan, a 5-year background check. And so that limits us in regards to who we can bring in there. There's a lot of planning involved. It takes months for that clearance process. And then I also have to watch my behavior, my language with dealing with the facility. I get a lot of requests, and you know, my addict thinking is like, well, that's not going to fly with the H&I subcommittee. It doesn't like abide to our guidelines or our main purpose, or you know, I could like instantly have my own take on it. But then, being of service, I had to put my own feelings and thoughts aside on that, and I had to just simply take those requests and present it to the H&I subcommittee without any kinds of influence on it. That's how we have a very unbiased take on it, because it's not about me. It's about H&I and carrying the message. And I also have to be on top of sending schedules and like having things in writing as well. Their requests, the reports that I have to present. For the live scans, they have very limited funding as well. So we can't recruit just like people and just bring them on a whim. So as panel leaders had to learn how to also be panel speakers. And there's a limit on time as well. We're only able to be in there for 1 hour, but they want, but they were requesting 8 to 10 panels a month, which we could not fill in. They only wanted to at first give us like, I think, 3 live scans, and yeah, thought that would be enough to fill in 8 to 10 panels. But we had to communicate how that would be very difficult. Even our H&I members are volunteers. They have their own lives as well. They can't just come in 8 to 10 times a month and like put their own lives aside for that. I can imagine people putting their own lives aside for like once a month, twice a month, depending how hard they want to chase their recovery. So it's been a tough road with the psychiatric forensic facility, also because we had people who had biases, who didn't want any part of a facility where psych meds are being used. So there was limitations on people's understanding that sometimes a person needs that little extra help. And we also had some people who were not willing to adjust. They were stuck in their ways of how there should be a panel leader and 3 speakers, and that's it. So when those controversies arose, I had to do a lot of research. I looked through our subcommittee guidelines, and then I also looked to the region H&I guidelines to draw some sort of guidance on it. And I knew for a fact that there were other H&I panels, even on the region level, that were being conducted differently. So despite being told this is how it's done and there's no other choices, I had hope that we could find a better solution. The facility also requested that we teach out of the NA literature, like book studies, step studies, literature studies, literature discussions and such. And that was very difficult because a lot of the patients have difficulty reading. Like, you know how we have our readings at every meeting? We tried having some of those readings read, and now we had to narrow it down to no more than 3 readings each time because it takes a lot longer for them to read. And then as also the being the panel speakers, if we spoke the whole time, we pretty much lose our voices. So then the solution was to limit the readings to the most important ones at the time. And then in regards to literature, well, I'll get back to that later on. So the most useful tool in the program that I have found that has helped me in finding solutions for H&I is the Hospitals and Institutions Handbook. I never knew this existed until I became vice chair of H&I. And I wish I had known about it before, because even before I had a reliable means of transportation, before becoming a part of H&I, I really wanted to learn what H&I was. In this handbook, oh my gosh, this is everything you need if you want to start H&I, by the way. There are examples of what an H&I subcommittee guidelines would look like. There are forms to help organize information that you get from facilities for H&I, and also that helped you monitor how H&I is working, the productivity level in a sense. There are recommended panel presentations and subjects for different types of facilities in here. And in regards to the psychiatric and forensic unit, there's a whole section in here. And when I had all that controversy going on in the H&I subcommittee, I referred to this, because this is like world level type literature. And they give examples of recommended presentation formats, types of topics that are good. See, there are speaker presentations, panel presentations. They tell you what type of facilities, long-term, short-term, that it might work for. Literature presentations, step presentations. And then they even have specific do's and don'ts that work well for those types of facilities. And they have sample formats for those type of facilities. And mine's not in here because I bring it in with me every time I go in that facility. So it's ready in my trunk of the car. But it's a very simplified format with just like one paragraph and a whole list of topics you can speak on that would really benefit people in those given situations. And in regards to that 1 hour time limit, I stumbled on a solution, or my higher power led me to that solution. So I went to see this new meeting, and I didn't do any kind of research other than knowing that there was a meeting there. And I walked in, sat there, and there was a solution that popped up. They do step studies in that meeting. And instead of making it a lengthy process, like reading out of the How It Works book, they had it simplified by reading out of the Daily Meditation book. And that is NA-approved literature, by the way, because I had that come up too, that the daily meditation is approved. And so with the 1 hour limitation, and the daily meditation book, just for today, is always changing every single day, touching on all different aspects of program. That was the best solution that could ever come up, because it's short, brief, it's always about program. It's about living clean as well, applying program to our lives. And it's ever changing. So then I don't have to personally go and tell every single panel leader or speaker for that facility what would be good for that day, because it's always changing. And they can just go by what's going for that date. It makes a great topic. The speakers share on it. And then we had really great feedback. We had the patients in there really drawn in, because they got tired of hearing the same messages over and over and over again. And instead, they get to hear different aspects of the program. And after we started reading out the Just for Today, those patients got hungry for the program. They start asking questions of how they can find meetings when they get out, what they should do to prepare for when they get out, what to look out for, what is a sponsor, and how they get one. These are questions that I typically don't really run across a lot in H&I panels, but then when we started reading out the Just for Today and sharing out of it, this was the best outcome ever. And there are people that may have preferences on how they run a panel, and they may want to stick to what they're used to, and that's okay. What, as a panel coordinator, I tell them, we came upon the agreement that if they're doing the panel that day and they don't want to read out of the Just for Today, they can conduct it how they want to, as long as it is abiding to our guidelines, as long as it abides to the H&I handbook, which is an approved format, and as long as the facility is okay with it. Another situation we had been coming across, which we've been struggling with, is what to do when somebody doesn't abide by a facility rules or like by H&I guidelines. And I know this is probably something I should bring up at H&I region meeting. But it is something that I've been really, really meditating on and looking for guidance on. Because when there are given situations that may cause a little disturbance in the flow of how H&I should, well, performs at least. And I know it's all about teamwork. However, we have also come across times when, we've come across times when people aren't willing to abide, or they may have good intentions, but sometimes their current situation or mindset may prevent them from doing what's in the best interest for H&I, and we do our best to work with them. Communications, sending more experienced H&I personnel to help guide them through it if they need repeated, like what we call orientations or walkthroughs through the panels, we do it. And then also bringing up the guidelines, reading it, explaining it, maybe they need a little extra printouts to help guide them through the process. So we do our best to help lift up the members of H&I, because none of us came in as pillars of society. It's a working progress. It's a progressive progress. And and we work as a team, and it's about good communication, trying to keep it positive. We've had times when we may have extreme differences of opinion, but then at the end of the subcommittee, we're still able to hug it out. We may agree to disagree, in a sense, or table it to the next subcommittee, so then we can do more research. And my sponsorship family has a strong history in H&I, which has compelled me to despite difficulties, to keep continuing to come back to H&I, because I see that it works for them. My sponsor, she's got 29 years clean, and she does a lot of jail H&I panels. And my grand sponsor, she's got about 40 years clean, and she does H&I. And you know what? My sponsor tells me about how H&I panels at women's jails that my grand sponsor started over 30 years ago are still running today. And I'm like, wow, if I want to leave a footprint in the world, I want it to be a positive one, you know? So every time I go to an area meeting or H&I region, service workshops, or even at my own home groups, I like to put the word out and invite people whom I feel they have something to offer to the newcomers. Because it's not about the amount of clean time you have or about the amount of experience, service experience you have. I have heard people with just 6 months clean time give an extremely powerful, inspiring message to the newcomers. Sometimes people think 6 months clean, like what can they offer? But a lot of times, the newcomers can relate to them very well, because to them, that using life is still fresh to them. They can relate to the struggles somebody who's still somewhat new are going through. And then the newcomers get to hear about what they're actively doing to overcome those struggles and make a change in their lives. So when I hear somebody say, oh, I don't know, I only have 6 months clean time, and I tell them, that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. The newcomers gravitate strongly to those people. And then once they decide to stick around and give this program a chance, and they take the cotton out of their ears and stick them in their mouth, then they start opening up to more towards the people with real time and listening about how they transition, all the journey that they have taken to get to where they're at. So I see H&I very much about carrying the message, and it's very much like the front lines of recovery, the front lines of program. We get to go and speak to these people who don't have access to outside meetings. Some of the people in there, they're in there for life. But it is exciting to hear these people want this program, to want the change, to want something better in their life, and to see them over time learn how to live life on life's terms. So if you're here to learn about what H&I is, I sincerely hope that maybe you would attend an H&I subcommittee meeting. We have amazing, amazing H&I learning days. This shirt that I'm wearing was from the first H&I learning day in region, Southern California region, that I have attended. And though I have my own personal struggles, like with new environments and people I don't know, I may get a little jittery and nervous. H&I has taught me how to overcome that with baby steps. Because every single time I go into a facility, it's a whole new environment. It's all new faces. There is a huge turnaround that they call in those facilities, like, or rotation. Is that what they call it? Turnaround?
Turnover?
Yes. I see a lot of people in those facilities, and then the next month, it could be totally different. So there is not much of a repetition. They don't get stagnant. They're always filled with newcomers. And, oh yes, the first H&I learning day that I attended for Southern California region, I got to hear a woman speak on stage. Still makes me a little emotional. But it's okay. I learned it's okay to cry. Emotions are completely okay. But it would be happy tears, though, just to let you know. I used to think all tears are sad. But the first H&I learning day that I attended, the woman speaking on stage was the panel leader for that first H&I panel in the domestic violence shelter. And I was just so happy. And though I had gone back, I wanted to do an H&I panel in that facility, but sometimes the facilities have their own personal, their own reasons for not having panels there. For example, that type of facility is supposed to be a government-protected location, so it's not supposed to be really known, so they don't allow panels in there anymore. But after that woman spoke and came down from the stage, I went up to her, and I thanked her for doing the H&I panel there. That without that panel, I would have never heard of NA. And she told me that she didn't know if her being there had any kind of positive effect, because she couldn't tell if anybody, like, acknowledged or grasped anything that they had said. And I explained to her that people from those type of backgrounds have their minds wrapped around other issues. But that NA panel that she brought in, just being there, planted a seed. And that seed is what led me to the program of Narcotics Anonymous when I got out of there, and inspired me to become a part of H&I, to help carry the message to those people who otherwise would have never heard of Narcotics Anonymous. So we hugged and we both ended up crying. But I got to tell her about my journey in H&I, and she was very happy that just being a panel leader has led one person out of all the people that were in there, if just one person decides to stay clean, you know, that's extremely rewarding. And now, every time I walk in a facility, I can remember myself being just like that. Being brand new, not sure why I'm there, and hearing a message of experience, strength, and hope, knowing that there's a program out there and that life without drugs is possible if they choose so. And I tell those newcomers, I tell them, it's all about staying clean one day at a time. And I tell them if it's needed to just stay clean one moment at a time. It's not about what other people want. It's about what you want for yourself. And it's not about doing it for your kids. It's about doing it for yourself. Coming from that violent background, I still have a lot of legal issues. And that involves going to court and seeing my kid's dad there. And I still have difficult moments that arise, even with my years clean. Just like being in a courthouse and being offered dope. And then seeing the kid's dad still in this, making the same bad decision, still using after all these years. H&I gives me the power to overcome those moments. The power to choose to stay clean. The power to choose to continually choose Narcotics Anonymous for myself. And then for my family. I get to hear my parents tell me of how proud they are of all the changes I made in my life with the support of NA. H&I and service work has most definitely given me the most growth in all areas of program that I have worked. Even though I work my steps, even though I sponsor women, even though I'm at service at various meetings, nothing has ever come across as that amount of power that H&I has to help those newcomers who haven't even chosen to stay clean, but to at least be able to be an example, to plant that seed, and to be continually inspired every single time I go into a facility. That's what H&I does for me. So if you're considering H&I as a possible area of service, I sincerely hope that you just give it a try. Even just as a panel speaker, to see what it's like to go into those facilities, to just speak. Or like I like to do, I bring my sponsees sometimes to the panels I do. First to observe, next to speak. And then I get to hear them of how they want to a life in H&I as well. So it's like what I've heard said in the rooms. If you want a year, then you go hang around with the people with a year clean and see what works for them, what they're doing that works for their recovery. If you want 5 years, go hang around with the people with 5 years. For me, I hang around with my predecessors, my sponsorship family, and the people who have been doing H&I that have double-digit clean time. And I see that HNI works for them and the amount of spiritual growth that they have. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself, that's what I want. So I continue with HNI, hoping that one day I could be in that kind of position and look back and see all the growth and journey that I have come across and be able to give it away, give it back. Because we only keep what we have by giving it back. So, with that said, thank you for letting me share. Does anybody have any questions in regards to HNI?
Yeah, Mike, we had just come up in our last HNI meeting, subcommittee meeting, about adopting a panel, because in our area we have a large fellowship, but there's very few of us that are actually showing up to do HNI. We have more and more facilities asking for us to come in, and we're just overwhelmed with all these requests. And making announcements at meetings, say, hey, HNI needs support, just it isn't cutting it. And even the face-to-face stuff isn't going. So, well, I guess I have two questions. First of all is, and maybe I could ask the other people also, but I'm just curious to know how HNI, the subcommittee, would look with these home groups adopting the meetings themselves. Do we have to incorporate like a member from each one of these home groups to come to our HNI subcommittee now?
Okay, how to have home groups adopt a panel, right? How to put the word out? Okay, in our area, first we had flyers made for adopt a panel. And there's also another idea that I learned at an HNI region learning day, where they, one area, they make flyers that says HNI wants you. Mm-hmm. And then how I came about in HNI is that first my home group elected me to be the HNI liaison. And then I went to the HNI subcommittee, and I had to attend a few times before they were willing to vote me in. So then I had to, first was the home group, then there was the HNI subcommittee. And once being voted in, then I got orientation to become like an acting panel leader in that facility. Also, having the words put, the GSRs put the word out, because they're at every single meeting, they're the most heard people, even though they may not realize it. So having the flyer, having the GSRs put out the word for adopt a panel that HNI needs help, on the flyers, you can also put the clean time requirements, a little description of what those actual positions involve doing, the duties, because the words panel leader, coordinator, all that might be a little confusing. It was to me at first. And then also there is, at our area meeting, we do a challenge. We challenge the GSRs to become a part of a subcommittee. And also we make announcements when we attend various facilities. The HNI members are encouraged to help continuously put the word out there to every meeting they attend. Any other people like to add?
I'm Jeff, I'm Natick. I was just gonna add, we did that in my area, and we found that the adopted panel, and one thing, it's important that you get a strong home group with experienced members, because I was the liaison for my home group to the HNI subcommittee in my area, and I was responsible to make sure that the panel was covered each month. You know, because like normally if you have a panel leader, they go the first Monday of every month. And one of the attractive things about having a home group adopt a panel is the same person doesn't have to go every month. So it lightens the load. 12 different people from that home group can go during the year. As long as those people are reliable, you provide them with the do's and don'ts, and you give them a little bit of orientation. And then it's up to them to attract another, you know, sponsee or another member of the home group or some addict in recovery that they know to go with them, or a couple to go with them on the panel. And I also find, you know, I mean, and it's not just H&I, activities need support, you know, phone lines need support. That's like, I find that to be the death knell of a subcommittee. It's what I've had more success, like saying stuff like, oh, you know, H&I has one open panel, the first person that, you know, comes, you know, first come, first serve, it's going fast, right? You know, and make it seem attractive because just like with Stephanie, and thank you so much for sharing, you too, Caesar, Stephanie, I just really enjoyed hearing you share. You know, you talked about how much it's really enriched your recovery, and that's what I stress when I talk about it is, you know, it's like, if you haven't done it before, you have no idea what it's going to do for your recovery. You know, like, put a positive spin on it. But the homebrew thing, you got to make sure you do it right. You can't just do it willy-nilly, and you have to have a responsible person that's making sure the panel's getting covered.
Hmm.
I'm killing the addicts. I have a question. Do you have any experience with being transitioned rather more quickly than you expected to from one position in a subcommittee to another? Like, say you're vice chair and your chair decides they're going to not be chair any longer. And you thought maybe you had at least a year before that was going to happen, but it's more like 6 months. Or, well, two at this point. Did you understand what I'm saying?
You're asking about the quick transitions between commitments?
Yeah.
Okay, for me, when they say never turn down an NA request, that has been a very powerful message for me. Because when I get the opportunity to try another position, it may be intimidating at first. I call my sponsor and ask her how she feels about it first. And then...
we have that text already.
However, life on life's terms. Mm-hmm. Every time that I take on a higher position, it may seem like a challenge, but then it always inspires a great amount of growth. I learned so many skills and how to be accountable and responsibilities and being organized, being able to speak in front of people. I get to overcome my fears, all because of my service work. So when I see an open commitment and I get asked about taking on a higher commitment, despite whatever fears I may have, I go for it. Because I know that there's going to be a lot greater rewards coming from taking on those challenges. And at the same time, I also put the word out in regards to recruiting people to take on my lesser commitments. So then I won't get overloaded, because it's pretty much, recovery is like balance, like you're on a boat, right? You don't want to tip it over. So then just like how I had to give up my commitments at, like, when I was the H&I liaison. And that's because I took on vice chair of H&I. And I've grown immensely in this position. Because if you're staying in the same place in recovery, it can become stagnant, right?
Right.
So by changing commitments, you're like, It's like refreshing. You get to learn something new. You get to learn new skills. You get to have new growth that you never thought you would have until after you gave it a try.
I think I'm less terrified of being the chair than I am terrified that I'm not going to have a vice chair and I'm having a brand new secretary because our secretary left state. So.
Well, I've heard of this saying, let go and let God. It's about doing the footwork, but trusting your higher power, letting God handle the results. Because God will take care of that.
Yeah.
As long as you pursue solutions. Any more questions? Yes?
Louis Attic from East LA.
Louis,
I want to thank both of you guys for coming on. Stephanie did a great job. And I want to thank you for, I don't really have a question, but I want to thank you for touching on the mental illness panels. I had a dual diagnosed panel for quite a while, and it definitely brings on challenges unlike other panels. And dealing with clients or patients that are, you know, some of them quite heavily sedated, you know, you do tend to wonder, are they even listening? What the hell am I doing here? You know what I mean? And it does become frustrating, but, so I want to thank you for touching on that, because there aren't that many. Most areas don't carry that many of them, so those few that there are, I mean, I rarely hear, you know, talk of those mental patient facilities on the H&I. You know, I've only done one, and for me that was enough, you know, because it is quite frustrating, all, and it's a different type of frustration than with other panels that, you know, I have no problem with. So, but it is quite challenging. I want to thank you for touching on that. So, thank you guys.
Yes, with the psychiatric and forensic units, I'm able to relate to them because I came from a DV shelter where I got clean, and my mind was wrapped around all these other issues that I did not want to take a look at myself. So then when I see these patients, and they have a lot of their own struggles, and I empathize for them. And I see them as people, as addicts that have extra struggles, that they need that extra love and compassion and support more than a regular H&I panel. So it takes a extra patience as well, and being a little, having more awareness of how you communicate with them. However, it just takes a seed. That's all it takes. One little seed to be planted, and you just leave the results to your higher power. Just handle your part. Your higher power will take care of the rest. Any more questions? Okay, well, thank you for letting us share.
All right. Thank you.
All right, after a moment of silence for the addicts that's just suffering in and out of these rooms, please join me in the surrender prayer. Let's pray out.
Guide
my will and my life. Guide me in my recovery.